You need to hear from your pastor. I trust you. Okay? Trust is not hidden, you'll notice. Trust is earned. It's earned that. Right? Well, we need to hear it. You know what? I trust you. I respect, you know, musically and theologically. So that gives you the responsibility of knowing your music, knowing your craft, and knowing your word. Okay? Because it's not about songs. Okay? And again, with Pastor Steve, it's about the presence. That's a tool. That's the ark. Right? But it's not what we completely rely on. It's important that he says to us, communicate with me. Okay? We need communication. If there's one takeaway that I would ever take away from one of these things, is communicate. Communicate, communicate. You need to communicate from the top down, and then you need to communicate from the middle, you know, from your position down to those that God has given you to lead. Communication is huge. All right? We need to hear from him. I understand you. I understand your weaknesses. I understand your struggles today. You know, it was a difficult Sunday. I understand that. You're co-preachers. You're co-ministers. You need to hear that from your lead pastor as well. It says, I respect you as a co-minister, as a co-leader. It is very important for us. We need to hear, I give you freedom and latitude. All right? Now, some of us, if we want to be honest, sometimes we may not feel that freedom. Maybe the pastor doesn't trust us. Maybe we're new. Maybe there's certain situations or circumstances that have caused that. But that understanding or that freedom to say that, I said, you know, I always tell pastors, I go too long, you know. I felt that we should just real do an altar call at the second song rather than at the end, or those kinds of things. And he looks at me straight in the eye and he says, wherever you feel that you need to go, you go there. But that wasn't given in the first week. That wasn't given in the first month, maybe. You know, that's a working relationship that you have to have, an openness, and then he'll be able to trust you and give you that freedom and latitude. We are in a partnership, and I respect you. That's what we need to hear, okay? And some of these things, guys and gals, when you need, this is a free space. This is freedom, okay? Sometimes we can't say some things to our pastor. Sometimes it's difficult, you know, for whatever reason, And so this is a free space. All right. It's not always easy dealing with our senior pastors. They have a lot on their mind. They have a lot on their heart. They're not only thinking about you, they're thinking about Sister Smith, who has a problem with her child or her grandchild. There's a lot that we have to understand, okay? And so, you know, just keep that in mind, and with that respect, and those edifying words are really important. How we need to hear, how can we integrate our ministries as much as possible? Integration. It's really important, okay? Because what he is preaching on, we need to be in alignment and agreement with that of what he's doing. We'll talk a little bit more about that too, vision and sermon topics and creating the service that comes alongside of his sermon, all right? If he's preaching on salvation, maybe we don't want to be singing about oh my goodness, it's hard about salvation. Everything fits in salvation. That was bad. It's really bad. Strike that. But you understand what I'm saying. Okay? And so how can we integrate our ministry? So integration is really important. Preparing together is really important. If you don't have that freedom, Pastor, can we sit down? We have regular staff meetings. Maybe you don't. Maybe it has to be a phone call. Pastor, what's on your heart this week? What's your sermon topics? You know, what's God speaking to you? What are your struggles? We sang a choir song, The Name of Jesus is Lifted High, 2 weeks ago. Congregation just really responded. But Pastor called me at the end of that service. We usually debrief during a meeting. He said, Kara, that song was just for me today. It was just for me. You know, and pastors are always concerned about the congregation, right? Mm-hmm. But how many of you know they also need to be ministering to? You are ministering to your pastor. Mm-hmm. Okay? And that's why it's important, again, just communication and understanding, and that openness to say, Pastor, where you at? Where's your heart? What are you dealing with, Pastor? Are you struggling? Are you doubting? They doubt as well, okay? And so that's really important. So when you prepare together, you get to know him. You get to understand. We need to hear, I'm proud of you, you know? I'm proud of you. I appreciate what you're doing, working with the musicians and the singers. We celebrate our highs and lows together, okay? How many of you know that every Sunday is a home run? How many of you go home on a Sunday after service and I'm done? Mm-hmm. Yep. How many of you on Monday morning have your resume or you're ready to call and say, I'm done? Right? Thank God for Tuesday. It's a little better on Tuesday. Right? And then Wednesday starts all over again. How many of you know Sundays keep coming? I don't know how that happens. All right? Well, we need to hear that word, and he needs to hear that as well. And then sometimes when you're in leadership, you have musicians and singers and other worship leaders and all those kinds of things, tech guys, media guys that are under your job description. And we need to hear from him as well. I support you in your decisions. Okay? Because sometimes, you know, the personalities can go from left to right. You could have a senior pastor who is really hands-on. You can have a senior pastor who's completely out of the picture. You can have one that's straight right down the middle. Whatever those kinds are, whatever you have. But that trust, communication, understanding that he has with you and you with him, that he can say to you, I'm going to support you with whatever decision you make. And those are tough. Because how many of you know your band and singers and tech people and all those kinds of things are his, it's his flock, right? We are responsible for them. You know, and that's, again, that's the opportunity and the all or just respect that we have in our positions. And so it is very important for us to take that and be careful how we yield that power, okay? Because we may hurt somebody, and it's his kind, right? And he's the one that's ultimately responsible. But it's really good to know him, know his heart, how he deals with people, so he can say to us, I support what you did. All right? That's difficult when the senior pastor's wife shouldn't sing the solo. Silence. Right? Yeah. Those kinds of things, all right? When you're the singer who always does that solo, you feel shouldn't. And they go around you and they call your senior pastor and say, I'm upset. I prayed, I fasted, I was ready, and Pastor Carey didn't let me sing that song. Okay? Did anybody have something like that? This is a safe room, it's okay. I won't tell. I don't know what church you go to, so I don't know your situation. Okay? So it's really important for us to hear those kinds of things from our senior pastors. Okay? This is really cool. What the worship team or our worship leaders need to know about the lead pastor. These are the things that we need to know about him. Okay? We need to know the sermon. I'm just going to tell you. We need to know the content. Right? So that we can deliver the message together. Right? Really important. We need to know the vision of the church. We need to know the heartbeat. And our Pastor Steve said a little bit earlier, you know, each house has its own sound, right? Not every one of us is supposed to be Elevation.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That's right.
It's just me raising my hand. Okay? We're not all supposed to do. God is calling Elevation to do something. It's awesome. But that's not our sound. All right? And we have 3 Elevation satellites going up right around our church. 1.5 miles, 2 miles. 5 miles. Bam, bam, bam. Okay? And so it's easy for all of us to do. Well, we need to do Fullness too, because that's an Elevation. And pick whatever song, right? By the way, we're doing Fullness tomorrow. But we have our own sound, and that sound comes from the heart of the pastor. And so as we come together knowing his heart and how he's working on the sermons, it's really important that we know that so we can deliver the message together. Know the vision of the church. So you can help recruit, and you can help equip, and you can help mobilize to complete the vision, not to compete with the vision.
Amen.
What a difference an L makes. How many of you know the worship leader always has a split, and he takes half of the church with him? And he starts a church down the street. And half of the choir goes there. Because the senior pastor and the worship pastor and worship team, all those kinds of things. And, you know, we are connected to our team, right? I mean, we are their connection, right? And that's why we're supposed to know the pastor, so they get the same story from me as they do him or her, right? That's really important. They can't hear one thing from me and hear another thing from him.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness. God forbid. That's a house divided. Mm-hmm. A house divided cannot. State. So it is really important that we don't compete, we complete his task. And we do that by equipping others and giving them the vision, helping them to understand what the church is about so they know. Know, I said this before, know his or her heart. The whole team has to know. The tech has to know. Does the pastor like dim lighting or doesn't he? Okay? Does the pastor like a lapel or doesn't he? I mean, these are technical things, but these are the things that make him comfortable. All right? Does the worship team know that the pastor likes these are the days of Elijah? So we're going to do it all the time. I had a state overseer. That's all he did. Woo! I used to say to him, you know, there are other days. I mean, come on. Anyway, is this safe? Are you recording this? I just want to make sure. All right. All right. Again, what the worship team or pastor needs to know about our lead pastor. Another one is we need to know a theology and a practice of worship. Okay? We need to understand that. You have to know your theology. You have to know the Bible. Okay? Those are real simple, but understand. You think, well, yes, we do. We need to know the practice of worship. We need to know our craft. We need to understand these things. Again, because if it's confusing here, it's going to be confusing here. You practice a song with your team, right? The congregation comes in, they hear it once for 3 to 5 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. And so if we're not all together and we're bopping along and it's really bumpy, and then pastor comes and preaches and it's you see that? And so we need to get ourselves in alignment and in agreement with everything, how the practice of worship and our theology, and that we don't say something unbiblical that the pastor has to come in and redo his whole sermon because we just blaspheme from the pulpit, you know? And so, you know, those kinds of things, that's our responsibility. And then, you know, one last thing on this one is that we need to know the practicality of our art. Again, we need to know the musicality. We need to know our arrangements. If we're conducting, we got to know how to conduct, okay? We want a confident team.
Yes.
We want to show confidence, not arrogance. There is a difference there.
Yeah.
We don't want an arrogant team. When I smell flesh on the stage, you're off. When I smell flesh, when I see flesh, and when I see that it's all about you and Jesus is somewhere in the back room, you're off. And I don't have a problem telling you that. Okay? Same thing as musicians. But so you want that conviction and that they know what to do, and you need to be sure how to connect them. If you don't know, that's why you're here. I tip my hat off to you. It's really important. We need to have an ear for music. You have to have an ear for music. You have to have an understanding of music. You don't have to have the best ear. Okay? The worship pastor somewhere down the street may have it more together than you. That doesn't mean you're not called.
That's right.
Right?
Amen.
Doesn't mean that you are not called. Alright? It's the anointing. It's the anointing. It's the anointing. I mean, I just wanted to, there was anointing here during prayer. I just wanted to stay there.
Yeah, amen.
You know, in prayer. A piano and a voice. Mm-hmm. Piano and a voice. Piano and a voice. Alright? And so, but you have to have an ear for that, right? You do need equipment. Okay? Mm-hmm. You know what Pastor Steve said earlier? You know that buzz in the sound system? That's annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the microphones, two mics that are too hot, they come together and their feedback, it's annoying. Okay, if the PC or Mac is always crashing, that's annoying.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and so you need to work through those things. Get those little things out of the way so people don't see your technology. So people don't see you working during the service. Because y'all, we're all working,
right?
There's working going on. Any of your monitors you're working at, if you got that going on. There's guys working on the sound, if they got that going on. And there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes. Nobody should see any of that. Okay? As best as you can. And so you should know that. Work on it through the week. Call your sound guys, whatever you need to do to work out those things. Okay? And then you need to have passion and commitment. Passion and commitment. Passion and commitment. I'm a bit discouraged lately. My discouragement level is higher than usual. And this is 20 years. You figure discouragement would be gone. Okay? But even in preparing for this, you know, and we've had 3 funerals this week. 3 funerals in 6 days in our church. It's very young. One of them is a 13-year-old. And we've been praying for Tony Moretti for years. And the Lord, you know, in his wisdom, you know, he was taken from us. And so going all through these kinds of things, you know, it's like, man, God, you know. And some things, you know, in regards to our church, you know, that we're going through. You know, because churches go through things. Okay, the churches are filled with what?
People
who need people. That's called something. Come out of the songs. All right, but even preparing for this and in prayer and asking God, I always say, God, you know, I've never, even going to Lee University, never went to Lee University to be a worship leader. The only thing I was following was my passion, and I was committed to Christ. Those are the only two things. And in my walk and in my passion and commitment to Christ, he led me here 20 years later, doing mission trips to Ecuador, going to Scotland, and being just having the opportunity to know wonderful people who have the like mind of Christ and the gifting and the love of worship. And so you have to have passion and commitment, because you're going to get frustrated. You're the lead pastor. You're going to frustrate your pastor. He's going to frustrate you. Or her. Okay? It's going to happen. But if you have that passion and know that you are committed, then you can overcome these things. You can put them in perspective. Because it is really important to put them into perspective. Okay? Let's go through this a little bit later. I'm going to go through these real quick. What the lead pastor needs to know about the worship team. All right? We need to know a lot about the lead and senior pastors, right? So he needs to know some things about us. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
You're just all being so polite. All right? Okay, I said this a little earlier. Okay? We cannot read minds. We do not know what the senior pastor wants to do. Youth pastor, children's pastor. We don't know sometimes. If that communication is not there, you know, it makes for frustrations that can be avoided. Avoid anything that you can to get those out of the way, that you can concentrate on the presence and the move of the Holy Spirit. All right? He needs to understand we need time to practice and rehearse. Okay? So if he comes up and says, hey, listen, I want you to do this, this, and this on Sunday morning or Saturday night, you have to say, Pastor, help me out here. Okay? You have to sit with the one that's over you and help them see that. Help them understand that. Because I want to help you out, Pastor. I want to be there. I'm your right hand man. I'm your biggest fan. But please know, I can't. Johnny on the guitar or bass can't learn that quickly. Or the drummer can't do that. Or whatever your situation is, okay? They need to know that we need time to prepare and rehearse, all right? This is, you know, just in my thoughts, the pastor, when he's preparing his sermon and he's seeking the heart of God and he hears from his congregants, the church throughout the week or the months, he prepares. You know, God starts to mold his heart and he starts to prepare a sermon. And he starts to write out a sermon, right? And he delivers it. And he's begging God and trusting God that God will help him, right? Then he goes out and he does it. The pastor needs to know that we're different. I'm relying on my keyboard player. I'm relying on my drummer. I'm relying on the band. I'm relying on the singers. I'm relying on the tech. I'm relying that various things are in place. And so he needs to understand that. Okay? Pastor, there are certain things I need. Pastor, there are certain things that you just got to understand that, you know, because I heard a friend of mine said, a pastor just doesn't understand. He's like, well, why didn't you have this? Why? And he put me under the gun. It was real. And I, you know, walked through and it's like, yeah, that's pretty tight. You know, we are dependent on others a lot of the times. He's dependent on him, the direction of the Holy Spirit and his faithfulness to God in that way. And he delivers it, right? Well, we have a team. And so it's okay to say, Pastor, please help me out here. Okay? Help me out, Pastor, please. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
And so the pastor needs to know we need certain things. We need tools. We need instruments and sound and media and tech. We need help. We need charts. We need tracks. We need batteries.
Yeah.
What if that mic work? Pastor, we don't have any batteries. It comes down to that. mean, the devil's in the details.
Yeah.
Right?
That's
true. And so, you know, again, just let him know what we need. He needs to know we need trust and a certain amount of freedom. We talked about that, okay? And sometimes I can feel just a little tug there, and I can understand. These pastors, you know, they got a lot on their heart. God bless them. I'm serious. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I feel that. And so to trust that person there, that's a daunting task. That can be very daunting. And that should tell you to know your task. That should tell you that you should be a worshiper at home. Mm-hmm. That should tell you that your preparation needs to happen at home. Mm-hmm. Right here. That's what he needs to tell you, okay? He needs to know. It's training. If you have the opportunity for training just like this, it's really important. Again, I commend every one of you for doing it. It's really important. And so he needs to know that. We need that opportunity for refreshment. We're always giving. We have to be filled, right? You guys, you have to be filled. You have to be filled. You get that from yourself. You get that from others. Pastor Steve said again earlier, get with other people. Find out what their struggles are. Find out what their victories are. Okay? You have to be filled so that you can be overflowing. It's not just the tithing scripture. Okay? Okay? So you have to be filled up so you can be overflowing. You need these opportunities. You need freedom to make mistakes. Okay? You need freedom to make mistakes. You're going to. I promise you. Okay? I just hope it's not a big one. Right? You need to be allowed to be a part of a larger ministry staff of the church to help cast vision and help be informed. Sometimes if you don't know what's going on in other parts of the church, you can't help. You can't facilitate those other ministries. It's really good if you know what's going on. What the men, what the women ministries are doing, what the missions team is doing, what's going on, Pastor? Those kinds of things. And to be a part of that, not so you can manipulate a meeting, but just so you know about it. So you can understand, you can have a heart, and then you can complete, keep getting the L's and the E's wrong, you can complete the vision that's going on, right, rather than competing. And sometimes you may feel like a silo. Silos are really difficult. Silos are all the way out here, okay? We have all these ministries, and then our music guy or worship pastor or worship leader, whatever it is. That's a difficult place to be. Don't let yourself sit there. Okay? Be open, and as hard as it is, knock on the door. Make the phone call. Something. Pastor, I feel over here. I want to be here. So be a part of that. Not to compete with you. I don't want you to be offended. I don't want you to feel that I'm just coming in on your territory. It has nothing to do with that. I just want to help lift up your hands. That's what we do. Help lift up the hands. You know, when the hands lifted up, there was victory. That's what we want. I want to see pastors succeed every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I want to see him worshiping every Sunday. I want to see him being filled every Sunday. I want to see him completing his calling every Sunday. So be a part of that. We need to be ministered to as well. I said that earlier. We need clear job titles and directives. So you need to tell your lead pastor, your senior pastor, what do you really want from me? Real simple. What do you want from me? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to do it? Again, I'm not a mind reader. Just tell me, do you want me to do this or don't you want me to do that? I'll help you wherever you need to. Okay, but give me clear job titles and directives. An ability or freedom to allow who is involved on the team and who isn't. Sometimes it's difficult if the senior pastor comes to you and says, hey, I want you to use Bobby. Bobby has not been called to music. Bobby thinks he heard from God and he can't carry it to him. The pastor comes to you and says, I want you to use Bobby. Okay? Because Bobby's family is leaving. It's difficult. So what do? You have an honest communication with the pastor. Maybe you can work with Bobby. Okay? Maybe you can just work with him. Pastor, maybe I can work with him. Okay? But really, Pastor, if I put him on the team, he can't. He's going to ruin. He's going to mess up everybody else. That happens. Right? It really does. For whatever reason. He may not be spiritual fit. He may not be musically fit. And so those kinds of things are really important. So that understanding, that freedom to allow who can and who can't, who should or who shouldn't. And I said earlier, no micromanagement. It's really important. Okay? I think I'm going to let it open for some discussion. I think we'll be done at 10 o'clock. I'm going to skip to this that we really need to keep in mind in relationship with lead pastors and senior pastors, him or her, and worship leaders or worship directors, whatever job title you have. Truths that we keep in mind. The church belongs to Jesus and not to us.
That's right.
Oh my goodness. We have to be reminded, don't we? But no, seriously, I mean, the church belongs to Jesus and not to us. Matthew 18:18. Okay? Rivalry and disunity contradicts what Jesus came to do. He came to make us one. Right? And just one scripture, John 17:11. If we think the other leader is taking away our time, the primary problem is the way we view our role. Mm-hmm. All right? Even though we're on the same team, Jesus has appointed pastors to teach and lead in the church. At the end of the day, the worship leaders should follow the pastor's lead. Mm-hmm. What if he's leading you where you don't want to go? Then tell him. Be honest with him. Maybe there's just miscommunication. Okay? What if you feel, I don't feel it's biblical? Talk to him. Talk to him. Don't talk to the worship team.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Don't talk to your tech. Turn him down when he starts to speak about this. Oh. Right? Mute. It's not good. Okay? So, you know, really start to just kind of check yourself and be open to it. I was called to a church in Georgia while I was at the university as a part-timer, and I really had problems with one of the counselors. I really did. And I had to go to him and go with the pastor, and they helped me walk through. Okay? And so, but there has to be unity for that, all right? But we have to take the pastor's lead. The second one in this is our musical leadership and preaching are meant to flow from a life of worship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? When you're worshiping in song, you are preaching. Okay, you are ministering. You're ministering through, as a psalmist says. Okay? Romans 12:1-2 and Hebrews 13:15-16. You can look those up. But from a flow of a life of worship, no amount of public fruit can make up for a lack of private devotion.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or the ongoing practice of sin. If your devotional or family life is consistently suffering because of the time you gave to public ministry, it's time to take a break and get help. If your house isn't in order, that's a tough one. If your house is in order, go to it. If you are overloaded and you're about to break, you're not doing a good job anyway, right? You're not serving your pastor well anyway. You're not serving the church well anyway. You're not serving your family well anyway. You go to your spouse, you go to your pastor and say, I need some directness and some clarity. I need some redirection. Help me out here. I don't want to leave. I don't think I should give it all up, but it's too much. Okay? So get help. God values our lives more than our gifts.
Mm.
Okay? He values our lives more than our gifts. He can use us, but he doesn't need us. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need your good voice. He doesn't need your good tech stuff. He don't need all this. He doesn't. All right? Jesus went out on the water. He went up on a mountain. He had his own sound system. Water, mountains, and preached. Right? And so he doesn't need us. Number three, we're on the same team and we have the same goal. Okay? We are on the same team, we're on the same goal. See God's glory in Christ magnified in people's hearts and lives. That's what I want to see. 2 Corinthians 4:6. Pastors use words while worship leaders use words and music. Right? The goal of our efforts should be to hear people say, not what a great worship, or what a great sermon, but what a great Savior.
Mm. Yes.
That's what we want to hear. And I'm going to end there. And then we'll open up real quick. Part of my prayer, and I mentioned the Carrie Joe concert we did about 2 years back or so. Gosh, maybe three. But anyway, you know, I remember praying. I said, God, I said, I want an opportunity. Lord, I just want to see, Lord, this place maxed out for your glory. God, I mean, not pockets. I want to see it packed. I want to see every seat for it. We have chairs. I want to see all of them taken. Why? Because I'm jealous for God's glory. Not for me. I want to see God's people see the King. That's what I'm not what a great worship set. great sermon, not a great teaching, was Jesus glorified? Mm-hmm. Is that who they saw? Is that who they responded to?
Yeah.
Not to me, not to the preacher, but they responded to him. And during that concert, when she came, every seat was sold. Right? It was a blessing. But I sat back in the wind and I saw my prayer. That's what we should all want every Sunday. For everybody to just. And that is where that unity, that is the understanding of God being glorified in our unity with our lead pastor, senior pastor, him or her, and the roles that he has given us. It's a lot. It's real practical. I'm going to open it up, some questions or some thoughts. I guess we're supposed to be done at 11. We start at 11, 10, so I'll try 5 more minutes and the pastor come screaming in here. So any questions or thoughts? There's no question or comment that's too stupid or don't feel inhibited in any way, because what you're going to ask, what's on your heart, it's going to help somebody else. I don't have all the answers, by the way. Okay? What your situation is may help somebody else. As Pastor Steve said, you may get something from that person sitting next to you more than anything else you've got. Any questions or things that you want to share? Yes? Oh, we're on the same team and the same goals. To see God's glory in Christ magnified in people's hearts and lives. In 2 Corinthians 4:6. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them. Ecclesiastes 4:9-10. That's what we want to do. I want to help my pastor up. I want to help him or her up. I really do. I want him or her to lift me up. Because sometimes, as a worship pastor, I say, oh, that's right. I have a pastor too. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's my pastor. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're thinking, he's got enough. And I'm guilty sometimes. He's got enough. But we're robbing ourselves. You're robbing yourself, okay? Where he can, in turn, encourage you, just refocus you, and it's really important, okay? So we're there to pick each other up. Any other comments or thoughts? Come on, quiet group. You hungry?
Mm-hmm.
Anything? You're afraid? Everything's good?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, fantastic. Then what we're going to do is we're going to end in prayer, and then I'll let you go, and then we will meet together for the next class. Before I do that, though, are there any prayer requests in here? I mean, this is time of prayer. Is there anything that you're dealing with in ministry that you need just someone to pray over, that we can help come together and pray with you on? Is there anything at all? Anything? Man, I'm going to go to all your churches. I'm going to share one. I'm going to be vulnerable. Okay? Our church is going through a transition. Has your church ever gone through a transition?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we're seeing people leave that have been there. Is anybody going through that? For whatever reasons, good ones, indifferent ones, bad ones, and we're going through that. And we're saying as a staff, saying, you know what, God, what's going on? What are you doing? What are you saying? You know. And so we as a church, we're going through that. Okay. I mean, it's not catastrophic, but one person, it's just not a tither on the seat or a pew. Those are relationships.